She said, I know you're expecting me home next Friday, so I thought I would let you know I won't be coming home between semesters. I guess I shouldn't say between semesters since I've decided to drop out of college. It's the only logical thing to do since I met my new boyfriend and moved in with him. I'm going to be working at the local factory so I can support him while he finishes his degree in art history. I was concerned about whether I could do the work, but the doctor says it won't hurt the baby for me to work. Besides, we need to save up money for a car since mine was stolen 2 weeks ago. 10 minutes later, a second text arrived. It said, by the way, I will be home next Friday. There is no boyfriend, I haven't dropped out, and there's no baby. But I do need to let you know I made 2 C's and a D this semester. I hope you're not too upset. Sometimes what seems like bad news just needs to be seen from a fresh perspective. And the next few Sundays are going to be just like that, because I'm going to spend 3 Sundays preaching about the subject of stewardship. Stewardship. Stewardship is a biblical issue that offers rich meaning and powerful blessings. Unfortunately, stewardship is also a command that is often treated like a red-headed stepchild. Sorry, Judah. People usually respond to one of two ways when a pastor stands up in front of a congregation and says, I'm going to talk to you about stewardship. Usually one of two things happens. Either you just turn off your brain, or you assume that at the end of the message, there's going to be some sort of special appeal and arms are going to be twisted and hearts are going to be wrenched. And as a result, we neglect teaching the value and the biblical basis for something that can be life-changing. So from the very beginning, let me set your heart at ease. For the next 3 Sundays, I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about being a biblical steward. And at the end, what you're going to be asked to do is simply this. Take the Bible and apply it to your life. Take the Bible and do what God, through His Holy Spirit, speaks to you about doing. There's not going to be a special appeal offered at the end of the day. There's not going to be any kind of manipulation taking place. But we need to know, we very much need to know what the Bible has to say about a very important topic that sometimes we miss the meaning of. So let's jump in. I want us to learn together. We're going to be in Romans 14. We're going to look together at the basis for everything we believe as Christians about the practice of stewardship. We need to begin with 2 mistaken presuppositions about stewardship. The first one is this. Stewardship is primarily about money. Usually when somebody begins to preach to you about stewardship, that's what it gets down to. We're going to talk about money, about the money that it takes for a church to operate, about the money that's needed for particular ministries, about the money that we invest in mission outreach. We talk about it. And while money is often involved, it is not the true subject of stewardship. What God expects from you embraces all of your resources, financial, material, personal, spiritual. One of the things you need to know from the very beginning is when the subject of stewardship comes up, it's talking about everything you have, everything you are, everything you do, everything you stand for. There is absolutely nothing in your life that is not touched by the subject of stewardship. It involves your time, your priorities, and your abilities. It's about how you use your talents and where you exercise your spiritual gifts. The truth is this, the primary subject of stewardship is not money. The primary subject of stewardship is lordship. Lordship. Is Jesus Christ truly Lord of everything in my life? Is He truly the Lord of where I go, what I do, how I spend, how I act, how I carry out the days of my life? When God commands you to be a steward, He is calling you to consider everything in your life as something that is available to His service. If you say to the Lord this morning, "It is my desire, my plan to be a good steward," you need to understand, you are not saying to the Lord, "And so I am going to write a check every week or every month or ever whenever." What you're saying to the Lord is, "And so I am putting you in charge of my life. I'm considering everything about myself to be accountable to you with nothing held back. It all goes to you." The second presupposition is that stewardship is about what you give to God. You talk to me about my stewardship. I assume what you're saying is, are you going to write a check? Are you going to put cash in an envelope? Are you going to give something to God? But it's really not about what you give. It's really about how you manage what God has given to you. Story told about a young man who lived long ago, and he was summoned to visit the great king of another country. It was the winter time, so along with the invitation, the king sent him a beautiful coat to wear on the journey. I mean, it was made of the most luxurious materials. It was lined in the greatest furs. It had great detail on it, and when he put it on, it was so warm that he knew he could make the trip. And he would never feel the cold winds that were going to blow. And he would never be affected by the snow that might fall down upon him on the trip. And so he made the journey, and as he rode, that wonderful coat protected him. At the end of the journey, as he was entering into the gates of the city to which he had been summoned, he grew more and more excited about the prospect of meeting this great king. But that excitement didn't prevent him from noticing an old beggar on the side of the road in tattered rags, shivering from exposure to the cold. And impulsively, he stopped his horse and he got down and he took off that wonderful coat and he wrapped it around that old man and left him able to survive the winter. As he entered the castle, he began to worry about what he had done. What if the king asked him, "Where's that coat I sent you?" How is he going to feel about the fact that I've taken this extravagant gift and I've given it to a beggar? What's going to happen next? And he entered the throne room and he bowed before the throne, and then he looked up and the first words out of his lips were, "You." Because there on the throne was that old man that he'd given the gift to. And he began to realize that when he had been summoned for a test. His generosity had been challenged, and he had been found worthy and would be named an heir to the king. What a great story. What a true story. Because it's really not about a young man long ago who went to the castle of a king. It's the story of people like you and me who have been invited by the Lord to enjoy and inherit everything He's promised to His people. And yet He's watching to see how are we going to respond to His graciousness in our lives. Too often we think of our tithes and offerings as something we have graciously decided to give to the Lord. I will give the Lord my tithe. I will give the Lord my offerings. I will give the Lord something to support missions as we come toward the season of Lighting Moon. The truth is, you have nothing you can give to the Lord. Number one, the Bible reminds us our Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hillsides. What does God need that you have? Absolutely nothing. If you choose not to surrender yourself to Him, is it going to limit Him accomplishing what He wants to in this world? Not for a second. But also, because there is nothing you have that was not first given to you by God's almighty hand? Stewardship reflects a spiritual principle that resonates throughout the Bible. And it is simply this: God always initiates and man responds. That is true from the beginning of creation through the end of Revelation. God always initiates and man responds. God does it first. God loves you first. God forgives you first. God provides for you first. God gives you everything you need first. And then what you do is a response to His giftedness in your life. Stewardship is never an activity where we give to God out of the abundance that we deserve. It is a response of gratitude and worship because we realize, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. Second thing we learn from Scripture is that Christ deserves our stewardship because He is Lord. Paul declared it clearly: none of us lives to himself alone, and no one dies to himself. The possessions we hold, the talents and abilities we've been given, they all come directly from God's hand. Everything is ultimately a gift of His grace. Everything. Now, you may want to protest. You may want to say, no. I'm a self-made person. I am who I am because of my own effort, because I've worked hard and I've done well. I gained my skills by dedication and practice, my possessions by hard work and long hours. Don't tell me. But in every case, it's the Lord who grants you the intelligence. It's He who gives you the abilities. It's He who offers you the skills that you put to good use. It always begins with the Lord. Let's face it, there is nothing good in your life that cannot ultimately be traced to the hand of God. Not one thing. Take a moment. Think through your life. Think about all of the ways that you have been blessed, all of the things that have happened in your life, all of the material blessings that you possess, and ask yourself the question, can any of it be traced to any source other than a good and gracious Lord? When you bring an offering, it is always a response to God's goodness. Whether you offer Him your money, or your giftedness, or your spiritual surrender, whatever it is you bring to Him, started with Him. Stewardship is always supposed to be an act of pure gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Please and thank you. That's why it's a sin when you refuse to practice stewardship. Why? Because you have refused not to, be grateful. I choose not to be grateful for what God has done for me. God calls us to view everything in our life as a way to respond to His goodness and His grace. When you have financial resources, to give regularly and sacrificially. If you have a teaching gift, to take every opportunity and use it to teach. If you are musically gifted, to offer it freely to God in worship. That is how you respond to the Lordship of Christ. Romans 12 says it this way: having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. What is he saying? Everything you do with every gift and ability that has been given to you is an act of stewardship when you give it to the Lord. Because you are my Lord, I offer you everything in my life. Yes, I offer you out of the material blessings, but I offer you out of my natural abilities. I offer you out of my spiritual gifts. I offer you out of the opportunities that come my way. I offer you out of the ways that I'm able to express my gratitude and love. You are Lord. You are Lord. And nothing about me can be held back from you. It all came from you. It's all coming back to you. It's all about you. Then Romans tells us that stewardship is a spiritual response to Christ's personal investment. The Bible says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." That is a stirring challenge, isn't it? Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. But more than that, it is a cold, hard statement of fact. We are the Lord's. We belong to Him. He has made an investment in your life. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted Him as Savior, you need to understand it is because of the investment He made in you. You know, like most of you, every month I make an investment in the future. I invest in my planned retirement. Those of you who have passed that, you're able to do what you're able to do because of investments you made in the past. When I invest in the future, I expect and I deserve a return on my investment. The Lord has made an investment in your life as well. It is called the blood of Jesus. You have been saved. You have been forgiven. You have been restored. You have a future promised because of the investment of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. The Bible says every one of us had sold ourselves into sin. It declares because of our sin, we were lost and separated from God. It says we had no hope for eternal life. Left on our own with our own resources to provide what we can for ourselves, the honest truth is we can't provide anything. We can't expect anything. There'll be no eternal return. We are apart from God. And then God sent His only Son, who died on a cross and suffered the punishment for your sin in replacement for you. God should have looked on you, and He should have looked on me and said, "There's a lost cause." If there has ever been one, there's a lost cause. Look at the ways they've messed up their lives. Look at the choices they made that God doesn't approve of. Look at all the ways they have fumbled and failed in their lives. But instead, God looked and said, "If I can seek and save, if I can bring them back to myself, then I can make something of their life. And you are of such value that He sent a Son who shed His blood that you might be free." The Father made an investment in you. He invested the blood of Jesus greater than anything you could ever offer to Him. And what is the return He deserves on His investment? Our faith, our surrender, our sacrifice of everything. We owe it all to Him. And because the blood of Christ is the standard, we offer our best as an act of stewardship. If that's what I have to look to, then I understand God has given me the very best thing he could possibly offer. He gave me a son. And whatever I do for him, it could never be enough. That's why Paul didn't concern himself with how much he owed the Lord. His love for Christ motivated him to see his whole life as a gift to offer to God, to the one who had saved him and changed him forever. His question was never, what should I give? It was always, how can I hold anything back from the Lord? Long ago, David expressed it this way. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. In other words, stewardship is not stewardship until it is a wholehearted response to everything God has done for you. And you give everything to him in return. God calls you to be a grateful steward, realizing what he has done, recognizing it all comes from him, realizing how much he has done for you. You offer him who you are and what you can do in the best of what you've been given. In the end, stewardship is all about Jesus. It is all about the quality of your faith in him. Understand me clearly this morning. And I'm not saying to you, so the measure of how much you love Jesus depends upon the amount of money that you can offer to him. Too many times, that's kind of the way stewardship messages in. But the truth is, the only person Jesus ever commended was that lady with two little pennies. You remember that? But it was the best she had to give. Stewardship is not about the amount you can give compared to anybody else. It's not about the amount you can serve compared to anybody else. It's not about the amount you can trust compared to anybody else. It is simply saying, because of what God has done for you, you give the best of who you are and the best of what you have and the best of all you can surrender to the one who loves you the most. The most important thing that I can talk to you about this morning is not even the subject of stewardship. The best thing I can talk to you about this morning is to simply say, and if you're here and your life has never been covered by the blood of Jesus, today you need to trust him as Savior. More than what you can offer, more than what you can do, he wants you, your heart, your life, your trust. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, you don't need to leave this room before you have settled that issue and made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And then you can take care of other things. Today, if you're not a Christian, in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and this will be your chance. I'll be here at the front. Dr. Hutchins will be here at the front. Either of us would love to introduce you to the Savior. Maybe you're here today and God is calling you to be part of this fellowship because you need to love him and serve him through what he's doing at First Baptist, and you know this is where he's calling you to be. You need to come as well. There may be another decision you need to make, a decision about surrender, a decision about commitment, and you just need to settle something with the Lord. If he's speaking to you this day, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.